Bill 5027, and we'll start with our invited testimony, Mr. Carson, Mark Carson, would you come forward? Good morning.
Good morning.
And the pig in front of you is, in case you see any acronyms like OLCC, Orient Liquor Control Commission, and you have to put in a quarter every time you say one, but you get two free for the first time, and it's for a good cause. It goes to the American Cancer Society. So we welcome you this morning, and as you can see from our posting, you have 10 minutes. You don't need to take all of that, but you can if you wish. And what we do in this committee is hold our questions and ask you questions afterwards. So if you'll proceed and say your name for the record.
My name is Mark Carson, K-A-R-S-O-N. Chairperson Clarno and honorable members of the committee, please accept my grateful thanks for accommodating my surgical schedule and allowing me to present information out of the customary order. I promise to be very brief. I operate the first liquor store to actually sell liquor in Oregon after Prohibition. The picture is of my store, taken the year I was born, and shows my father working in the old Green Front, as they were called. My father was a longtime state employee and became the agent when the store was converted. I have followed in his footsteps, first as a store manager and now as an agent, spanning more than 33 years of service in Oregon's retail liquor stores. For more than 5 years prior to the filing of the lawsuit against the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, I spent most of my time and political energy as a director for the Portland Rose Festival Association. During that time, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission changed and started attacking agents. On every issue, they turned a deaf ear to our needs and concerns. I honestly believe their goal is to increase their already massive power over agents so they can treat us like so many pieces on a chessboard. I also believe they view us as disposable people to be used, abused, and thrown away. I was shocked, scared, and felt greatly threatened when the Oregon Liquor Control Commission offered me a 6-month contract instead of the customary 10-year contract. The next contract they offered me was for 1 year. Both of these contracts were signed under protest to allow the store to remain open. Immediately prior to these two offers, the Hillsboro liquor agent, then City Councilman Bruce Hochstein, was given a 10-year contract. During the entire time the two short-term contracts are being offered, people who were brand new to the system with no liquor store history were signed to 5-year contracts. One final note, my performance reviews have always been outstanding. There is one haunting question. Why did the Oregon Liquor Control Commission select a specific group of agents to discriminate against by issuing them these short contracts? I believe it was intentional and politically motivated. This left the lawsuit the only recourse to get justice. For your convenience, a copy of the amended complaint is provided. More than 20% of the agents are standing strongly and have voluntarily contributed money to help fund the lawsuit. We had thought that my deposition would take about 2 hours. Deputy Attorney General Charles Ferrari and OLCC Deputy Administrator Karen Gregory have already had me in deposition for 2 full days of testimony. They are indicating they would like 2 more days. It is hard to conceive of what they could possibly hope to find, since we have covered my divorce, political interests, financial information, many documents more than 30 years old, and 20 minutes discussing my kitchen sink. Perhaps the true goal is to run up the legal costs and delay things until the legislature closes. It has been an honor to appear before you, and again, please accept my deepest thanks for giving me special consideration. I will be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Mr. Carson. Are there any questions?
Madam Chair.
Representative Butler.
I haven't had an opportunity to review the allegations in the lawsuit. Perhaps Mr. Carson would just go ahead and delineate what the allegations are?
Basically, or Madam Chair and Representative Butler, basically the terms of the contract were ignored. There were time limits and discussions required in the contract. We got down to the final days and they offered me a 6-month extension. Did not fulfill their contract needs. Within the lawsuit, there are other issues. What type of a contractor I am? Am I an employee contractor? Am I an employee or am I an independent contractor? Number of issues concerning how we're regulated.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Yes, follow up, Representative.
Thank you. Mr. Carson, you're presently continuing on in liquor store number 2, is that right? You still have liquor store number 2 and a license operator?
We do not have licenses. We are under contract. And the store number 2 was when it was a state store. I am now agency number 1182.
And how long is your current contract in agency 1182?
My 1-year extension expires in April, the first part of April. I have been given a 5-year renewal, which is in the process. It's been signed, but my attorney has not sent it in.
So you're presently being offered a 5-year renewal for agency 1182?
I just was, yes, sir.
When you say just, are we talking about within the last few days or a few weeks or a few months?
Last few weeks.
Okay. And was this your, under agency 1182, was this your first round of agency 1182, or had you had long-term contracts before that, before you took it over from your family?
I have had it since the mid-70s, and I've had 10-year contracts prior to this one.
Has anything changed, Madam Chair, if I can follow up? Has anything changed since the mid-70s in the time that you commenced with this? Has anything changed in your overall financial picture and your overall conduct of the business? Any kinds of violations or anything else that would give rise to a change in the 5-year or 10-year contracts that were being offered?
No, sir.
So your financial condition was continued to be the same?
I have. If it has not continued to be the same, it has improved, and I have not had any violations, any letters of reprimand.
And in relationship to the stores, other stores themselves, the agency stores themselves, are your sales up the same? I notice it indicates that you're selling 4 times more merchandise, and I assume that's volume of merchandise, not in retail, selling 4 times more in merchandise with 4.2 full-time equivalencies. Is that standard fare for most of the agencies?
In the mid-70s, when the state converted state liquor stores into what are called agencies, they boasted to the legislature by doing this they would enable them to save 40% off the operation costs. And the reason being is they were overstaffed to some degree, but we have now been forced into understaffing the needs based on the sales because of the funding that we're provided.
So the 5 positions that you presently have, the 4.2 FTE, is, you feel, is not staffing your store appropriately?
I am at many times. I am short. I am working as close to the vest as I can do it right now.
And yet you say your financial position has become enhanced. Is that a decision not to hire more employees to cover yourself?
It's not a decision I've been able to make, but I was forced to make. The cost of doing business has outraced the compensation package over the years. And so to try to maintain, I've had to seek other better business tactics to stay the same.
And your current status is a 1-year extension with a 5-year offer right now that's presently outstanding.
Yes, sir.
And are there any conditions to the five-year offer, or it's just a five-year offer to continue on with Agency 1182?
It's a five-year contract with unreasonable requirements, in my opinion.
Can I follow up on that, please, Madam Chair?
Yes.
The unreasonable requirements, are they significantly different or even different from other contracts that are being offered by the agency?
As opposed to the past, yes, they are significantly different. The contract ties our manual, operation manual. I have continuously for years received an outstanding rating, and in my most recent one, I got numerous unsatisfactories for items that are considered capital improvements over a long term, and considering my last 18 months, I'd not actually had a long-term contract. It put me in a no-win position. I could not do the capital improvements without a long-term contract, and I was being held up, so then I was downgraded, and I was given a five-year contract. And it's items like the paint being scratched on the metal shelving, and since we deal with glass bottles, they have a tendency to scrape the paint, and I have in my store replaced all my shelving on three different occasions, and yes, there are scratches on the shelves. I think it should be judged as whether it is clean and neat in appearance, not whether there's a scratch or a dent or something.
Thank you very much. I just want to make sure that your contract isn't materially different than those that are being presently offered.
My contract is the same as offered to all liquor agents at this time, except for the length of term.
Okay, thank you. And that's the five-year versus the 10-year.
Yes.
Ms. Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That was the clarification that I was seeking. I didn't understand whether you were saying that your contract was materially different from other people similarly situated, or your contract was materially different in the terms versus previous contracts. And perhaps you'd answer that one more time.
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, it is my contract is the same. The only difference offered between me and other liquor agents is the length of time.
And it's your view, Madam Chair, it's your view that that's punitive and there's no other motivation for it.
I believe that I should have been granted a 10-year contract at the expiration of my existing 10-year contract if the Liquor Commission was not prepared to have a new contract in place to offer me. They should not have given me a short-term temporary contract until they were able to write the language they were satisfied with.
I haven't had a chance to peruse the pleadings that you have given us, but what do you believe motivates that? Why you would be offered a shorter contract this time?
Well, on the surface, it's because I received an unsatisfactory, and it was in the only unsatisfactories I received were in items that were considered by anybody to be a capital improvement item, a high dollar long-term investment improvement. And yet on that same merit rating, I received outstandings in all forms of merchandising, product selection, displays, you know, things that said I was doing a good job. I was marked down on things that required a long-term capital improvement. And the only reason I was not able to make those what I believe is a significant reason is I was given a six-month extension and then a one-year extension, and I was operating 18 months under a time period that it is hard to be able to make significant long-term capital improvements on without being able to write it off.
One last question, Madam Chair.
Yes,
so you were marked down first and then offered the short contract, or the other way around?
I was offered the short contract and then marked down.
And why were you offered the short contract and then marked down?
You would have to ask the Liquor Commission that, because just immediately prior to me, there were people given a 10-year contract that did not have the length of time in that I had had or the merit ratings.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Representative Hayden.
Well, in view of the fact that you do have a 5-year contract and that you are in litigation at this time, what remedy would you be asking or expect from this committee or from the legislative body?
Chairman Quarno and Representative Hayden, I would like to be treated fair and equitably, and I believe over the past several years that has not been happening to liquor agents. If I sell the state's liquor in a successful manner without selling to minors, without selling to intoxicated people, without incident reports, if I have done a reasonable job, I should be treated reasonably. And I believe that in the past 4 or 5 years, this has diminished tremendously. I believe that it is headed to a point where it will get worse, not better, if the legislature does not step in and take a look at what's happening. The lawsuit raises a number of issues that I feel are very important to the serenity and peace of mind of being able to do a good job and to do it in a proper way without being reprimanded for it. The legislature has the control over a state agency, and I would seek that they look at the scenario and act in their best judgment.
And would you, Madam Chair, would you, if you understand the process, our options are counseling, as you suggested, you know, just talking to the agency, or instructing them through some sort of a budget note or written instruction, or passing a bill, a special interest bill. Are you anticipating that we would pass a bill for Mark Carson to offer him a 10-year contract?
Chairman Carlin and Representative Hayden, I'm not expecting anything on a personal basis. I happen to have filed the lawsuit because of my historical and current position with the Liquor Commission. Somebody had to step up, and there were a number of liquor agents in Oregon that were all walking in the same direction, and I happened to be in front of the line.
Well, the legislature does from time to time instruct agencies in various ways what to do. Some people think this is micromanaging, and some people think it's just the right thing to do. So we'll see where we go.
Thank you, Representative Hayden. Representative Johnson?
Two questions. The first one is, you just said that you were not being treated reasonably. Besides the short duration of the contract, how else are you not being treated reasonably?
Chairman Clarno and Representative Johnson, we are being micromanaged. There is a large issue at stake right now within the lawsuit as to whether we are employees, contract employees, or independent contractors. And if I am an independent contractor, I deserve, and under federal law, I'm required to have a broader scope to run my business. In the past, I have been turned down for an SBA loan because I was not considered under the federal guidelines to be an independent contractor. If I was a contract employee, I should have better benefits or better working scenario than I have right now. And if I was an employee, I should have a whole lot better livelihood.
What does the contract you signed describe you as?
The Liquor Commission refers to me as an independent contractor.
And one last question, Madam Chair. In your testimony, in the next to the last paragraph, you indicate that during the period of the deposition, a number of items were covered, including your political interests. Could you give me a sample of what kinds of questions were delved into?
I have been active on, or Madam Chairman and Representative Johnson, I've been active on our legislative committee for our liquor association for 20 or 25 years off and on. I've been active on my board, and this was gone into as far back as the late 70s as to different activities. I worked with Senator Houck when he tried to get the sunset review on the OLCC, and those questions were raised. There was about a 16-page document that we had to cover that went back to Senator Houck's days. So my past political history, and in the discovery, it was requested any communication with any government person, past or present.
Anything further?
Representative Butler.
Just one question that was raised in that regard. When you say that the Liquor Association Legislative Committee, you were active there, and you indicated you were active on the board. Active on the board of?
Our Chairman Clarno and Representative Butler. Our association, it's Oregon Retail Liquor Agents Association. I've been both an officer and a board member pretty much for the last 20, 25 years.
I'd just like to address, if I could, Chairman, the issues financial that are outstanding here that concern to me. Let me just, the micromanagement is probably just the issues that are presently covered under all of the contracts of the, and again, as Representative Hayden has indicated, a lot of things that we as a legislature probably demand of the Liquor Control Commission to make sure that those issues are covered. The micromanagement, in your way of thinking, is that them telling you how to operate the business, or is that just the fact that Oregon is basically a state-controlled liquor program and doesn't give a lot of latitude through the commissioners themselves as to additional items that you might sell in your store?
Chairman Clarno and Representative Butler, the Liquor Commission I have dealt with for 33 years, and I only feel that it's been the last 5 years that the micromanagement has really become detrimental. They restrict what I can sell. They restrict how I sell it. They control basically every aspect of a normal businessman's day. They tell me what reports and how to do them and when to do them. Now, I'm not saying that the state doesn't have the need to collect information and to control. That is not the issue. It is how it has been abused in the last 5 years that I'm raising the issues on.
So at the end of your last 10-year contract was sometime during this last 5 years then, and that's when you were offered the shorter contracts?
18 months ago, I was offered a 6-month. And at the end of the 6 month, I was offered a 1 year, and they were nothing but extensions. The Liquor Commission had not put in place their new contract and appeared unwilling to give me an old contract, so I was given extensions.
And sure, if I could just follow that for just a moment, I think I'm partly responsible for some of that, because I'm a person that asked for modifications in our committee in the last legislature to ask for additional modifications to some of the contract documents to make sure that we were being responsible. So probably I stand as much culpable for any modifications and perhaps a lapse of time in there when the contracts, and I know that they have been working on this for some time, but I think we expressed some concern to the OLCC director and the commission itself not to continue to extend the same kinds of contracts while they were in the process of modifying the contract languages and so forth. So, but I want to make sure that I understand that you don't own your building, you lease your building.
My business leases the building. I own the corporation that owns the property.
Okay, so you, in effect, de facto, you become the owner of the property. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, and so if you're being marked down for not maintaining the building in accordance with their standards, basically you're not maintaining the building as both a renter and a tenant, as well as a landlord as well. Is that right?
No, sir. The tenant is responsible for the capital improvements outside things listed specifically in the lease term. And I have a building that is connected to mine that has a commercial tenant in it, and the leases are basically the same.
And so, but where you own the building in your corporation, the de facto ownership to yourself, although it be through a corporate, perhaps alter ego there, if you had made the improvements on while you were holding a 6-month or this current 12-month extension that you're on right now, you really would just be benefiting the building, the property itself, which you're the de facto owner of, wouldn't you?
No, sir. I don't believe my shelving benefits.
Oh, I see. It was just the shelving was the issue.
It wasn't just the shelving. That was a major part. And considering since the mid-70s, I've replaced the shelving 3 times, it is obviously not something that is done on a yearly basis or anything. And I have had scratches and paint chips extensively where I've received an outstanding. And this year, my merit rating was unsatisfactory for the first time ever. And the shelving hadn't changed significantly since my last merit rating.
I don't want to belabor this, but I do want to come back to just one point. That's the first point that I made, and that is, you've come quite a fur piece. You've been with the agency for a long time, one way or another, in your family, clear back, you know, for a half a century, and it appears that in this process that other agents were also given some, before you were given the longer terms, and I think there probably were other agents that received shorter term as they were swapping the contracts around. I don't know that to be the case. We'll find that out. But in that overall process, your indication is that your financial condition didn't change materially other than to get better during the life of this last 10-year contract?
I personally am making less money off my liquor store today than I made 10 years ago or 20 years ago or back to 76 when I started. Cost of living has the inflation factor, and my employee and payroll taxes and, you know, minimum wage has gone up way faster than my compensation package.
Okay, I just would like to say this, and it's not to be ignorant about this situation, but I don't know why it took a full 18 months to get you an offer of the full 5-year extension on your contract, but it's. I'm an accountant by trade, and when anyone comes in and a banker would ask me the same thing, when anyone gets a divorce, then there's lots of questions raised relative to their financial ability, you know, to continue on in the same fashion. So if you've come through a divorce fairly unscathed financially, you know, you're a very lucky man at that particular point. And that always raises a red flag for anyone that's preparing a contract, I'm sure. Of the nature and the responsibility that you have in being a contract agent for the state in selling these spirits, which it sounds like you've done so very responsibly, and I commend you for doing that.
Thank you. Might I state that my divorce was 11 or 12 years ago, and the very first question on the second day of my deposition by Deputy Attorney General Charles Ferrari, was, did my wife at the time of my divorce file a restraining order on me? I fail to understand bearing on anything that happened 11 or 12 years ago in a divorce.
And at that time, you would have had, you would have commenced a 10-year contract, is that right?
I was just inside a 10-year contract.
So it could have had, but that could have precipitated some concern during that 10 years. There might have been some issues that have raised some concerns, which could have red flagged it and then had that as an issue that you could have had to have addressed when the renewal came up.
There was absolutely nothing concerning my divorce or my action or any negative thing about the running of my business during that time period. And I also, as I'm sure Mr. Ferrari knew in advance, or he should have, of asking the question, that my wife, that was in a judge to get me out of the house. And when we actually went into court for the divorce, she admitted to the present judge that she had lied, saying that she felt threatened by me, not that I'd ever caused her any harm. He had to have known all that to even ask a question about something that was 11 or 12 years ago.
That did happen during the term of the last long-term contract.
I can't remember if it happened just before or just after. It would have been right at about the same time.
I think you probably understand my point that, you know, as an accountant, when we see those kinds of issues, divorce issues of any kind, we're concerned about, you know, the financial viability of the folks that we get contracts with, the agreements to continue on. So I don't know that that's what caused it. I don't know the particulars of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Carson, I wish you the best of luck in your surgery and appreciate you coming here today. I promise you only 10 minutes, but obviously the committee has been interested in your testimony and very concerned. So thank you very, very much and wish you the best.
Thank you very much, Chairman Carnon. I'd like to thank the committee. I appreciate the special consideration, and I appreciate that because that's what my surgery is about tomorrow.
Well, we wish you the very best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next, we will have an overview of the merchandising program. We're going to try and get through this in 20 minutes if we can. We'll have the committee hold their questions if they can so we can have our break at 9:30 with Pamela Erickson and Karen Gregory and Monica Brown. And we will not, I would ask the committee to not ask any questions about the preceding testimony of the OLCC as they, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, I'll be having to pay a quarter myself here, as they are involved in a lawsuit, and it wouldn't be appropriate for us to have them discuss it. So if you would begin with your presentation.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Pamela Erickson, Director of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Just a couple of things before Ms. Gregory gets started. First of all, I have some responses to your questions here. We can pass those out, and if you need some clarifying information, we'd be happy to do that. I did want to just clear up some of the issues that Mr. Carson brought up. The reason that we had some interim contracts is that we were in the middle of contract negotiations. We decided to change our contract, and this is all part of a move to a performance-based business. There was a provision in the contract that if we were unhappy with the performance of an agent, we had to notify them 2.5 years in advance of the end of the contract. It was just an unworkable provision. We started out with a lot of things that we would have liked in the contract. We compromised a great deal, but we were firm on that. We also, there was no written policy on length of contract. By practice, it had been 10 years. We decided to tie the length of the contract to performance. So if an agent gets an outstanding, they're eligible for a 10-year contract. If an agent is satisfactory, they're eligible for a 5-year contract. And then if they're unsatisfactory, they get a 1-year contract with a list of things to clear up. What we
just caution you, Pamela, that the more you talk about this, the more you're likely to get questions. So I really believe that probably with a lawsuit pending, we probably better not get into it, because one of my questions is going to be about mediation and how often you offer that when you have an agent who's unhappy. I think we better go ahead with the overview. And I would just ask if there's members who have questions about the preceding testimony and your contract process, that they get in touch with you so they can visit with you personally.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Karen Gregory. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and it's my pleasure to be here today to speak with you about our merchandising program. Most of my presentation is under the merchandising tab in your book. The merchandising program actually operates the state's retail business on behalf of the citizens of Oregon. It provides all the distilled spirits that Oregonians want while providing revenue for state and local governments. The sales for fiscal year 2000 were $228 million, and of that, $97.9 million were returned to the general fund cities and counties. The merchandising program has three divisions. First of all, we have the purchasing division. They're basically our procurement folks. They deal with distilleries throughout the world. We have about 1,300 items that we bring in into our liquor stores. Those folks actually bring in 1.8 million cases, and they monitor all of our sales trends. They introduce new items into our stores, and they eliminate any undesirable items that we have in our stores. Those 1.8 million cases come into our distribution center, and we have a book that has some pictures of our distribution center for you to take a look at that were passed around. And we just have this photo here, too. It's a 125,000 square foot distribution center that's located in Milwaukee, Oregon. Those 1.8 million cases come into the warehouse, they're stored, they're organized, and then they're shipped back out to our liquor stores. Our distribution center arranges for all the shipments to our liquor stores, and they'll settle for any claims of damaged or unsaleable merchandise. In the purchasing and distribution area, we are working on a major project currently, and that's the implementation of our merchandising business system, which is a new integrated business system for us. Another area in merchandising is our store operations division. As you know, we contract with individual business people to run all of the liquor stores in the state of Oregon. And we have a store operations division that works very closely with all of these folks to help them, to give them support in their daily operations of their stores, to resolve any problems that there may be between either the agents themselves, the liquor commission, or customers, to help the agents manage and promote effective merchandising as well as managing their inventory. The stores division develops customer service standards and works with store agents to enhance their store appearance, and they educate the agents on laws, rules, policies, and procedures. Our current major project in stores is the implementation of our retail business plan. Now, the Oregon Distilled Spirits Regulation System is very profitable, and it provides excellent control. It generates significant revenues, as we've already discussed, and it's a revenue producer without promoting sales, without promoting consumption or encouraging consumption, and there is no price competition.
Madam Chair, I just want to comment that I really appreciate the fact that you do not encourage consumption. When the Oregon Lottery started, we asked them not to encourage that consumption, but they did not listen. I'm glad you do.
Thank you very much. This $1.5 billion business, in the 2001-2003 biennium, we will be doing over $1.5 billion in sales, and we will be accomplishing those sales through our 236 liquor agents and less than 49 full-time equivalent positions in our merchandising program. That includes our warehouse personnel and everyone. And of course, a major element to our merchandising program is agents' compensation. We can't do all of this if we don't have our agents, who are the front runners out there, to allow the Liquor Commission to fulfill its mission to the citizens of the state of Oregon. The agents commit to the livability of their communities and the safety of their communities. They're responsible for that $500 million in revenue in sales that will come in this next biennium. They handle and they deposit all of the state sales dollars into our state treasury accounts, and they manage and protect the inventory that's in their stores. And for this, the commission, the state of Oregon, pays the agents' compensation. And from agents' compensation, the agent will have their take-home pay, but first, before they ever get to that, they actually have to pay all of their store expenses, which include their lease costs, their employee costs, any of the taxes that need to be paid for employees, and so on, vacation pay and all of that. After all of that's taken out of agents' compensation, they're left with basically their gross pay, and out of that they still have to pay their own Social Security taxes, state and federal taxes, save for their own retirements, and their vacation pay. And all of that, once that's saved for, then they have their take-home basically that they can live on for that particular part of the month. But so those four general areas make up our merchandising program. Ms. Erickson spoke to you about our agency strategic plan, and a large piece of that was modernizing our retail store system. In the last 2 years, we've begun to make significant changes in the system, and we will continue to make strides into the next biennium. It's our aim to run the liquor business more as a business. We want to run a professional, modern, efficient operation very similar to what you will find in the private sector when you go into a retail store. So in this part of the presentation, I'm going to talk with you about our retail plan for the year 2000 and beyond. I'd like to talk with you a little bit of our accomplishments in the last 2 years, And then I'd like to talk with you about how we want to look to the future to modernize and improve our system. Very briefly, we developed the retail plan because we discovered that until the year 2000, there had actually been no changes to the system from the early 80s. In the early 80s, the last state stores were changed over to agencies, and there had been a static number of stores from 1985 to the year 2000. And of course, during that time, the population has blossomed in this state, and there's been higher consumer expectations of our stores. So based on that, we did develop the retail plan for the year 2000 and beyond, and we have six goals in that plan: to improve our shopping opportunities, to provide excellent customer service, to provide attractive and friendly shopping environments, to maintain high profitability and to benefit state and local governments, to excel in our liquor law compliance, and to establish and maintain a performance-based compensation system for our agents. One of the accomplishments from our retail plan, we've just completed a customer survey. We hired Campbell DeLong Resources Incorporated to do a telephone survey for us. They contacted a number of our citizens in the state of Oregon to help us find out how liquor stores are currently used and perceived by all of our citizens. And generally, we discovered that Oregonians are quite satisfied with the system, and they're really not asking for any radical changes. We supplied for you the executive summary. It's under the merchandising tab on page 70 in your book. I'm not going to go through all the details of it. I'll just leave you with the recommendations that the researchers suggested. And those are that we should encourage our stores to stay open later, particularly on the weekends, that we should offer more of a retail experience, particularly for women. We should have stores located more in the shopping areas where women typically shop, and that we should have more traditional feel in our stores. That we should make sure that our stores are filled with the full range of product, and that we should recruit agents with retail experience while providing training to our current agents, and that we locate new stores in attractive neighborhood locations that have easy parking. Our retail plan actually anticipated a lot of these findings, but the survey will help us fine-tune a number of the things that are already in our plan. Now, for the last year, we've focused on opening our new stores. We've located some existing stores, and we've encouraged remodels and other store appearance upgrades. We opened three new stores in the year 2000. We established benchmarks, and based on population criteria, we discovered that there was underservice in seven counties throughout the state. And so in the year 2000, we opened three stores, one in Clackamas, one in Beaverton, and one in Alloa. Those were areas which showed the fastest growth in the last 10 years. And we will be opening a store in Bend in June or July of this year. And just as an aside for Bend, we happen to have two stores in Bend currently, and they are run by two brothers. And they realized there was underservice in the Bend area, and they've actually opened their arms to the new liquor agent there, and they're really supporting him and helping him get that store going. So we're very excited about that. We also anticipate opening another store in the winter of this year, and then two stores in a year in 2002-03. And we will look to locate all of these stores in the counties that we have discovered are underserved. Now, in addition to our new stores, we've encouraged agents to move to better sites. These sites would have more visibility to our customers. They'd have better parking, easier access, and closer to other neighborhood shopping. Again, this need was confirmed by the survey, and we appreciate that these improved sites are more costly to our liquor agents. In 1997 and 98, only six agents relocated. In 1999, 11 did. In 2009 did, and so far this year, as of the end of February, we've had one relocation. And of the 59 stores that have relocated since 1991, 49 of them have actually experienced sales growth at a higher rate than before their moves. Now, we're continuing to research store locations, but we understand that there are obstacles for agents to relocate. Many agents have long-term leases, so it's very difficult for them to relocate based on that. And also there's a very high rent factor when you go into these more neighborhood locations. So we'll continue to work with liquor agents to relocate stores. We have worked on a retail sales agency agreement. We've had a brief conversation about that, and I, too, will be very brief. Commissioners and staff felt the need to create new language for a reappointment contract, and the reason for that was that the previous contract basically made it impossible for the Liquor Commission to respond to an agent's poor performance effectively. We had to give the agent 30 months' notice if there were any substandard areas. And if an agent were to, for some reason, not be performing well, let's say 24 months before the end of the term of the contract, there was actually no way that the Liquor Commission could deal with not reappointing that agent. So our commissioners wanted to have reappointments based more on performance. And in answer to that, we developed the reappointment policy. And that is that we put more emphasis on performance, and we determine the length of reappointments by performance measured by their annual evaluations. So that an generally an outstanding evaluation would have a 10-year reappointment term, a satisfactory would have a 5-year term, and an unsatisfactory would have a 1-year term, so that they would have the time period needed to take care of any substandard areas. And we also revisited our evaluation form. Our evaluation form had actually gotten into a very overrated process where everybody was receiving either very good or outstanding, and our stores were not fulfilling the needs of the customers in the 21st century. So what we did was we worked with our agents and staff, and we developed the new agency evaluation form with objective, quantifiable criteria. And we also hired an outside contractor. Prior to this evaluation, our district representatives had handled all of the evaluations throughout the state. We felt that it's very difficult to look at the soft areas, and the soft areas are what we'll call store appearance, merchandising, and everybody sees that differently. So we felt that if we hired an outside contractor and had that individual go throughout the state and evaluate all of the exclusive stores, which are our largest stores, and those soft areas, that we would have a more fair and consistent baseline to begin this new evaluation process. We hired this contractor. They did go statewide. We hired a well-experienced firm, and we did discover that we had some problems out there. We needed to still tweak the tool, the evaluation tool itself, and we also had some problems with the contractor. We learned a lot from that, and we are going to revisit not only the evaluation form with our agents, but we're also going to look at the process that we use to hire the contractor and the criteria on the evaluation itself. We have a meeting with our Agents Advisory Council the beginning of April, and the topic of that meeting is to go over the evaluation form and critique it and see where we can tighten it up and make it better. At the November Commission meeting, our commissioners actually approved the new contract language, the reappointment policy, and the new evaluation form. And it was soon after that that the evaluator went out and began evaluating the stores throughout the state. It was not a great time of the year to do that. It was right before the Thanksgiving season, but we felt that we needed to have that occur because we had all of these contracts that had either 6 months or a year as their reappointment periods all coming up in January, and we wanted these evaluations completed so that we could give those agents the appropriate contract based on the evaluation that she was doing. So we understand that the timing of that evaluation was not good, and we will not need to do that in the future, but we felt it was important to get it done so that we didn't have to give short contracts once again. And even before the new evaluation form was put out and the reappointment process was implemented, We had a number of agents that really responded to the commission's direction to improve our store appearance. And we really want to thank those agents, and we want to extend our appreciation to them, because we know that that takes a lot of emotional and financial energy on their parts to make those changes. We take great pride in their making those commitments to making the system better and to making those changes in their stores. In 1997, we only had two agents that made that kind of a commitment. In 1998, we had five, and seven in 1999, and we had six in 2000. And these are pretty much total remodels. Now, we also had a lot of other agents who did a lot of really good things, too. They changed their floors. They fixed their ceilings. They had new counters in their stores. And we're really proud that the system is really experiencing a general upgrade. The cooperative and dedicated agents are really making the vision of this retail plan a reality. Now, we also know that change is difficult. And we know that whenever you have change, you have upset. And we have had our upsets these last year. But we really do want to thank the agents who are helping to modernize the system, because it is making a huge difference. We have been working on our inventory reduction. You heard a little bit about this yesterday. The Liquor Commission and the 1999 Ways and Means Subcommittee agreed to reduce the distilled spirits inventory in our liquor stores and the warehouse, and we did that in lieu of a 4% decrease to our agents' compensation fund. The budget reduction was a $2.9 million cost figure for inventory in the stores and in their warehouse. And we agreed with Representative Butler to do that. And we believed at that time that it was a very good business decision on our part, and we still believe it's a very good decision. And we are progressing very nicely toward that goal, and we expect to be very close in meeting it, if not meeting it, right on target. Agents are managing their inventories to the individual goals that they received. They have the latitude to decide what items they're going to have in their stores and whether they want to transfer any merchandise out to other stores. And they also, we want them to bring in new products into their stores. That's the lifeblood of the business. And we also encourage them to make Oregon-produced items available to their customers. And we really want to continue to modernize the system for the future. As I mentioned to you, we are going to work with our liquor agents. We have. We will continue to do that on our evaluation form. We initially tested that evaluation form in a number of stores. We'll expand the number of stores when we get the evaluation form tweaked to where it needs to be. And we certainly will work with our agents to make that happen. And we also know that automation is the key to improving efficiencies and gaining optimal inventory control. We see technology improvements as a way to automate our processes, and we know that that's the key to gaining our efficiencies, and quite frankly, without them, we don't see any opportunities for growth. So we're going to be presenting to you a budget package that will enable liquor agents to put upgrades in their stores for point-of-sale systems. These upgrades are going to enable the liquor agents to send to the Liquor Commission not only sales information, which we currently don't receive, but also their orders and inventory. And the sales data is going to give agents, the Liquor Commission, and suppliers better feedback about what's selling when and where. And along with the point-of-sale system, we're continuing to work on upgrading our merchandising business system, which is the system I talked with you about in the purchasing and distribution section. That business system addresses the purchasing, the warehouse inventory control, and it dovetails with all of our fiscal reporting functions. And with these tools, we can better manage our business. And finally, agents' compensation continues to be a very crucial issue. If agents don't have adequate compensation, they simply cannot continue to make the upgrades that they have been making, and they've been making great strides. So we will continue to look at updating the formula by which we distribute agents' compensation to assure that it's fair and reinforces the merit-based system that we're developing. So in conclusion, I would really like to thank the liquor agents, and we're very proud of everything that's been accomplished in the last 2 years. We couldn't have done it without the great staff we have at the commission and the liquor agents who are on the front line. And we look forward to fulfilling our plans for the future. Thank you very much.
Representative Johnson.
I got a bucket of them. Do you want to wait until after the break?
Let's take a 5-minute break and you bring your bucket of questions back and hang out.
Thank you.